This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
The sound of headbanging music welcomes us to Bushwick, Brooklyn, although I am drinking rosé. My name is Crazy Legs Conti. This is Eating Disorder on HeritageRadioNetwork.org, and my co-host is here. Introduce yourself.
Oh, what's up, man? This is the Reverend Spiro.
You're drinking vodka tonics, and you have a vaporizing thing that you... What did you describe the sound?
It sounds like a crack pipe.
A crack pipe. For those not familiar, here you go. Everyone quiet. I think it sounds more like a chainsaw going through coffee grinds, like the old Johnny Most Boston announcer. But I am drinking rosé, although it's odd, because I was reading about that billionaire who had to have rosé airdropped to his yacht by the pallet, and I thought, you know what? What a douchebag. And then here I am living on old peanut butter sandwiches, but still, through the kindness of others.
But like old peanut butter sandwiches?
Yeah.
Kind of on the back of the couch?
Somebody,
like Homer Simpson.
Somebody in the studio tonight gave me a Groupon leftover jar of peanut butter. When you spread it, it looks like chocolate chip cookie dough, but it's actually not chocolate chips, it's raisins. And it's bad that I took it and I combined it with a gift pack for a six-year-old's birthday that was all like off-brand potato chip flavors. Like, you know how it's supposed to be sour cream and onion and like salt and vinegar? Yeah. These were like salt and barbecue onion. It was just not good. So I mixed it all together, and then as a competitive eater, I just try to get it down as fast as I can. But tonight, the weather's beautiful. It's summer. I'm drinking rosé, and I'm very excited for tonight's guest. But tell me what you've been up to, Rev.
Dick. Seriously, I haven't done shit.
Really?
I've been working with Clean Plates, which I love.
Yes, we love Clean Plates.
Awesome, you know. But honestly,
you went on kind of a new job bender of buying. You had so much food in here last week for our guest Hogan Gorman, but she was a vegan and you ordered all meat plates. It was amazing.
Yeah, and but I was really hungry when I came in.
Fair enough.
That was the problem.
We did want to launch that protest, but I did go next door to the takeout and I got Hogan I think it was mushroom and onion pizza. She enjoyed it in the backyard.
Oh, awesome.
Here, Roberta. So it all worked out. She drank a lot of Chardonnay, which is fine. But I was Saturday night. I was in New Jersey. And
right.
New Jersey is my second least favorite state behind Connecticut.
What were you doing in New Jersey?
I was in the World Pork Roll Eating Championship,
which is Taylor Ham.
Technically, that's a brand or a name. Now, this was not a Taylor Ham contest. This was pork roll, which, for people who don't know, New Jersey claims it's in the bologna or spam genus.
But
go ahead.
Philly would say it'd be in the Taylor Ham genus.
Yes. Well, Maryland and Pennsylvania have scrapple, yes, exactly. But scrapple to me tastes like T-bone steak compared to pork roll. I think pork roll might be the foie gras of dog food, and I've done a dog food tasting test. And I'm sorry, New Jersey. I'm against you. I'm against it. Even though Trenton may ban me, they have a contest coming up in September. New Jersey Transit, quick story. I've got 500-pound Badlands Booker. I've got a bunch of competitive eaters. We're on New Jersey Transit, which is impossible to figure out as it is. We go to the Meadowlands. Is this the stop for the racetrack? Yes. But no, that was the stop for the old racetrack, the defunct closed racetrack. We get to the event, and the Fink brothers, who've been on our show, who host a competitive eating podcast called Fink Beats the Stomach, they are complaining because they were dropped off a mile and a half from the contest as well at the old racetrack. You would think the New Jersey Transit bus driver would say, do you want to be at the abandoned haunted house closed racetrack, or do you want to go a mile and a half to the ones that have humans occupying it? The Victory Lounge, Simulcast, Harness Racing, people with large families.
Hornet Racing.
I don't know. Right. I bet the three horse to show in the race right before the pork roll eating contest, I bet $3. I won $3.30.
Yes!
And I came in out of the prize money of pork roll, and New Jersey Transit was delayed on the way back. So, yes. I don't know if I've ever... Have I ever sworn? I guess I've sworn a few times on this show.
Yeah,
but I could feel it building.
Right.
I feel like the English language has enough words. I don't need to use an explicative, but I just might let it rip at some point. But regardless, Let's go to a kinder, gentler note. Interestingly enough, our guest tonight is a close personal friend of mine, and I feel like there are three subjects which we have to cover. This man is a multi-hyphenate, and those multi-hyphenates are genius editor, Team Pizza member, and beekeeper.
And so the fourth one is friend of crazy.
Yeah, maybe an asterisk, a couple asterisks. So I'm going to introduce Brian Wetzel. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Crazy Lad.
Absolutely. And in studio, but we don't know if they're going to chime in, our two members of Team Pizza, Nicole and Tracy. We won't reveal their last names. But I'm going to go to you, Rev. So there's three things we can talk about. Genius editing like commercials and TV and movies, beekeeping, or Team Pizza. You have your choice.
I want to talk about snacks.
Snacks?
All right.
Well, all right, so let's go. Let's channel that under the beekeeping, I guess. Snacks.
Well, that could
that
go.
That could be editing, yeah.
Well, no, it could go under
Team Pizza.
Team Pizza and
all right.
Beekeeping. Because so we brought in some honey tonight
you
to
did.
Try on a fresh Roberta's
pizza. Wait.
Uh-oh.
Snacks. Is this in your snack wheels? So Nicole of the Silent Team Pizza is pouring us, and dangerously pouring over my Gorin Brothers fedora, some honey. We will have to learn the origin story of this honey. Rev, you just took the spoonful in.
Oh, my God. This is so good.
All right.
So this is from our fall 2014 vintage.
Ooh. Right. Do you name each vintage, or you just call it fall 2014?
That's pretty much
fall 2014.
Goes.
All right.
Spring, fall.
Stand by. I'm going to enjoy it, but you can keep talking. Wow.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
On record, best honey I've ever tasted.
Yes, that was amazing.
I've had other vintages of your honey.
Yeah.
I've never had this.
This is a good
this
one.
Has... almost finishing notes of like if you've ever been in a bathroom and you thought it was chips and it was potpourri and you ate it and still tasted good, it's got like a nice spicy sandalwood finish. And that's a compliment, don't get me wrong. But the consistency is absolutely perfect. It is the finest texture. It is the sea urchin of the honey world.
There's some citrus in there.
Yeah.
Ooh, you got like what, peach?
Citrus.
Slate fruits? What
do
you
got?
So you know these bees.
There's some orange in there.
All right.
They go off into the world and they go about 5 miles from the hive, so they get into all kinds of stuff.
And is that what, is it like terroir in wine where the soil takes in whatever will cause the honey product to taste like it? Like the bees go off and they're what? They're eating?
Well, they're foraging. You know, all the wildflowers and people's gardens and forests around.
And that's what they're consuming food-wise, or that's what they're pollinating? I've forgotten my IPS 7th grade education. Nicole... Team Pizza is whispering off ear. Brian is wearing giant headsets, and Nicole could be yelling at the top of her lungs. What do you want to chime in, Nicole?
We're cheating.
You know you want to time. Oh, you're cheating.
Come on, Nicole. Come on.
Tell
she's
us.
Got,
what
she's got the answers.
Nectar.
Nectar. Yes.
Nectar. Oh my God.
They're foraging nectar from all the blossoming flowers, and in the fall, September, it is going to be where we grow or where we keep the bees upstate in Saugerties. There's going to be a lot of goldenrod. Which is it's a weed, really. It grows on the side of the road, but beautiful yellow flowers, and they go nuts for it.
You know what? You know who else goes nuts for goldenrod? I used to work in independent film, and when scripts have changes, this might lead into an actual subject we'll discuss.
Is this a porn thing?
Real films. Like, they keep changing the script. You have to reprint it with different colors, and if you get to goldenrod, that's like 22 changes in. That's like a Bible stack.
Wow.
But I imagine...
Really?
Let's keep talking. It's true. We'll come back to that, because
really?
So Brian is in the film and TV business. You don't want to get to goldenrod in film, but in beekeeping,
yes,
they go crazy for goldenrod. And would you say it gives it a floral taste?
You know... I don't have the most sophisticated palate.
All
so.
Right. But you're the stern taskmaster of the bees.
I
you're
am.
Like, get on that goldenrod.
And I'm the guy, you know, taking the honey out of the hive.
All right.
Getting stung.
How many times have you been stung, would you say?
I've been stung many times. The worst day was 4 times in one day.
times in one day.
Yeah.
Any sensitive body parts? Undercarriage? Bathing suit area?
There was an incident last summer.
Oh, no.
We were at a...
there's an audible gasp
yes.
from the other Team Pizza member,
unnamed
Tracy.
I
don't know if she's going to chime in. No, Tracy?
We were at a pool party nearby, and I got bit by something on my leg.
Okay.
Spider or something. It was pretty
bad.
Oh,
that was you?
Anti-bee.
That was me.
Yeah.
Later that night, went to the hives, got stung in the back of the head.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was a combination of whatever bit me or the alcohol or what, but or where it hit me.
You would think the alcohol would help, like kill something, but it didn't.
It
thinned your blood out.
Well, I went into some major hivage.
Whoa.
And
Young hives.
I mean, yeah. Head to toe.
All right, question.
Yes.
When it comes down to getting a stinger out of you, I mean, a lot of people, I know the deal with the how to do it, but why don't you tell people how to get a stinger out of you?
Well, the quickest way.
He's going to say look it up on the internet.
Yeah,
but
look
go
it
ahead.
Up. No, the quickest way is just to pluck it out.
Yeah, but that's not the best way.
I don't know that.
What, rubbing alcohol?
That's the best.
Maybe I think of ticks. No, light a match? What is the best way?
I'd like to hear
that.
The problem with, and I've been stung a bunch.
All right.
The problem is don't take it right out because then you get the sack right there and it's just pushing.
That's
it
only
it
if you get
there.
Stung in the balls.
No.
Go ahead.
What you
want
to do is you want to scrape
to push it away.
Scrape it out of you without the little pulsating, nasty horror movie thing at the end pushing it back into you.
It's not like a poisonous snake. Then you don't need someone else to suck it out.
No, but that's
But I mean, it's like a porno thing. We'll talk about it in a minute.
Do they make beekeeper porno? Because I'd watch. It's got to
be
hard.
Awesome.
To have sex in those suits.
That would be fun.
Yeah, just people bumping into each other.
But that method of getting the stinger out would be very hard in a sweaty, hairy head.
Yes, and in terms of beekeeping porn, I only watch it when they pull the stinger out at the end.
Only.
All right, spray the nectar everywhere. All right, sorry, I got off topic there. Brian, so how long have you been beekeeping?
So this summer will be my sixth year.
You also name the queen.
Well,
the
we
queen
always like
key.
To name the queens, yeah.
And give me some queens' names from the past. Well, current queen?
Current queen is...
Beyonce.
Really?
Nicole was waiting to deliver that one.
But really?
Beyonce.
She's got a lot of Jay-Z's around her, let's say. What else? Are other queens? You were worried about a queen that had passed away
we
after
did.
A good five-year
so
run.
We had a hive that survived for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Created its own queen after some swarms, which is a natural thing in the hive where they...
Game of stingers.
They make a new queen. Half the old half the old hive leaves. But so we had Queen Latifah in the original year.
Of course.
And then when
she moved on
and a new queen was spawned, she became Queen Latufa.
Right.
And sadly, she eventually went on, and then we had Queen Latrifa.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yes. Oh, my God. That is amazing.
So Queen Latifah's lying in state. The drones are walking by her. Queen Latrifa. But how do you know when the queen dies?
Well, so there's multiple ways. But the way
you get a text.
Yeah, you get a text. I'm out of here.
Right.
Fuck this place.
Yes, exactly.
But, the text goes, biz, 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 fuck you.
Early May, we would have a swarm, and we're not here in the city, so we're not really too concerned about, a swarm of bees landing on somebody's car.
Yeah, let the
we're up in the country, and they go off into the woods, somebody's barn. But so when they swarm, a new queen has been created.
Yeah.
A couple weeks after that, you check on the hive and you find the queen, make sure everything is...
So you actually get to see the queen. You interact with the... It's not like Buckingham Palace knocking on the door going,
come on,
Elizabeth, open up.
We open up the hive every 2 weeks to make sure that the eggs are being laid. And if the eggs are being laid, that means the queen's happy and healthy and pollinated.
How many bees in a hive? Just give us an estimate.
In the peak in summer, around July, 60,000 in a healthy hive.
Wow, 60,000, that's more than people... Go ahead, Rev.
I got a question. I mean, because I read this New York Magazine article, and we were talking about it outside. And how much merit do you give this particular author in regards to that bees are stressed, and that's why they're disappearing?
Oh.
Yeah,
While Brian's answering, Nicole's handing the Reverend another spoon of...
I actually have not read said article.
Fair enough.
The stress thing seems a little weird. I think there's a lot going on with chemicals in our fertilizers.
And
sprays and...
And when they go away from the hive for the nectar, you're saying they're interacting with chemicals, so they're having a rough commute back.
So
it's like taking the G train, basically.
So my bees on my property, we don't use any pesticides.
All natural, single artisanal, honey.
And our lawn shows it. It is a spotty mess.
Yeah.
But
you have two dogs who also make spotty messes on the lawn.
We do.
Dachshunds.
Lately, they've been making spotty messes on the floor.
Fair enough. They're older.
Yes.
But big shout out. I know they're listening.
Luke and Fred.
We can look them up on... You have a function. This is also off topic, but you have a function on your phone where you can watch. I should address
we
this
do.
To Nicole. We watch the... It's a doggy cam?
Yeah, we have an old...
Right now?
Yeah, we should see what they're doing. Right. We have an old iPhone set up in the house where We've downloaded an app.
All right.
Basically, just have a doggy cam.
A dog cam. You know? Do they ever get into the honey? You never leave. You always screw the jar.
No, one day.
What are they, Yogi Bear? I mean,
yeah.
No, but last summer.
Hey, boo boo, yeah. You know, hey.
I'm looking at the.
He's watching
app.
The Weather Channel.
Oh.
He should be listening to the podcast, but he looks comfortable.
Right.
last summer. So, also, where we have the hives upstate, there are a lot of bears. So,
yes.
We have an electric fence.
Solar
powered.
Solar powered electric fence? Look at this.
Wow. But holy one day last summer, one of the dogs went off, and we couldn't find him for a minute, and found him under the electric fence in the beehive yard.
Interesting that he would dig under to save himself from the electricity and end up in the beehive.
The beehive. Oh, my God.
It's like the take on, like, out of the frying pan and into the fire. It's like out away from the electric fence and into the beehive.
Yeah, it's
not
like,
it's
a lose-lose.
Yeah.
But somehow
he
dodged that bullet.
Nice.
He dodges a lot of bullets, this guy, Luke.
Well, I got to be honest, the honey, and I'm biased because you're my friend, but so good. Would you ever think about going commercial? Would you ever start selling it?
Hitting
up the honey fairs?
The amount of hives you would have to do something like that.
Oh, really?
It's not something I can do on mine.
A limited batch. Saugerty'sHoneyPot.com. Sounds dirty.
We're lucky if we get 3 gallons.
Somebody get on GoDaddy right now. Get that lined up.
Yeah.
Three gallons. Also sounds dirty.
3 gallons sounds like a lot, but then when people... You know, you work in a certain industry where there's a lot of people who know you do this. And they find out that you've harvested honey.
Boom.
Boom. Everybody the line starts forming.
Let's talk a minute before the break about that industry that you work in. One that people are obviously hitting you up to. You work very long hours as a professional editor.
Yes. Editing, I edit TV commercials.
You edit corporate soulless TV commercials.
Not always.
Stop. I work in advertising too.
Give me one that you enjoyed working on. In the last 10 years.
I worked, right after Hurricane Katrina, I worked on a PSA for the Louisiana.
Very worthwhile. Noel is very close to my heart and stomach, so I appreciate that.
The ASPC.
The ASPC. All right.
With the animals.
Anything in the corporate or fast food world that was a commercial you were like, you know what, that actually was good. That was enjoyable.
I see a lot of commercials on TV that I laugh at.
But what about ones you've edited?
That I've worked on some really good ones that I do enjoy working on.
Okay.
But you know, when you sit there for 2 weeks at a time working on the same thing, you kind of get...
And they're very collaborative in the sense that you have a whole host of a client sitting on a couch yelling at you to make esoteric
their logo
changes.
Bigger.
Yeah,
but also
the,
things,
I mean, that's,
you know.
That's the bottom line.
Usually they're not yelling.
All right.
Most of the time they're not yelling.
Right.
It's a team effort. There's a lot of people involved in making one 30-second commercial.
I've seen you at work, and you are very good at multitasking.
Yes, we've edited it together.
We have. Because
Eric Badlands Booker.
That's true. We have Badlands Booker was a guest on this show, and Teddy Bear, which you can see on YouTube. I think I actually checked it out recently. It's up to like maybe 700 views, maybe more.
Oh, that many.
I think so, yeah.
Awesome.
That was X, but then I would see you at work and thought, this guy is a creative mind. I need to get him away from these fast food commercials. And onto something, you know, cinematic, something that's really going to inspire him. And that's how I basically goaded him into editing a short film called Tiddlywink, shot in black and white, with a lot of female nudity, loud music, and a little person, little Jimmy, also guest on the show, playing a Tiddlywink.
Rest in peace, little Jimmy.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
He'll be honored in 2 weeks at July 4th. But
really?
You and I were friends, which in the second segment we'll get into how we became friends, but... Now looking back at everything that the Tiddlywink journey went through, a film that I'd been trying to make for a long time that basically I told the DP and I told the editor yourself, like, I want it to look black and white, shaky, and as crappy as possible.
You did a good job.
Yeah. So I had to dumb down your natural instincts. Do you even list that on your resume, or is that like... no one could see it because it's only screened once a year, like the Rolling Stones' Cocksucker Blues. So it's an exclusive.
Tiddlywinks is not on the current reel, but I know you're working on another film.
I am. I asked you to produce it.
That also, you did.
It does involve female nudity.
I don't think
loud
you asked me to
again.
Produce it.
I just
told me. I
told you
producing.
You were producing it, Art. I think you still turned me down,
nudity?
Though.
Oh, I'm producing.
You're producing. Excellent. It's called Tit Whiskey.
Tit Whiskey.
Yeah.
And it involves some time travel in a bar?
Not so much time travel. Well, yeah, I guess it's time travel. You go back in animated form of the two bartenders To the time of Millard Fillmore.
Yeah.
Let's just leave it
Millard
at that.
There is
a
Fillmore.
Mythical beast. I won't mention which one.
Or is it Mallard Fillmore?
No, it's definitely Millard. But yeah, we're going to work on that.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yes.
I read the script.
Yep.
And I promptly said to Nicole, I think Crazy Legs has lost his mind.
You know, and, you might have something to that, because
and now you know my freaking battle Wachowski, every fucking week.
I know.
Jay Wachowski, the drunk poet who was the star of Tiddlywink, who I asked to be an inebriated bar goer in Tidwhiskey, was like, I don't know, man, I don't get it. This role just doesn't speak to me. And I was like, he was like, I got to pass on this one.
On this one.
Like, he's got to pass on Tidwhiskey. Yeah. I'm like, correct me if I'm wrong. For
so the
years,
drunken poet passed on Tidwhiskey.
He decided he couldn't relate to being drunk in a bar yelling
and
at chicks.
You're wondering why.
I guess I don't know.
So but, the drunken, you always called him the drunken poet, but yes. I never saw it in real life until the Tiddlywink premiere.
Yes.
In the East Village, we had a screening.
Yeah.
And about 10 minutes into the screening, there were some other short films.
Right. Go ahead.
The film stopped. Oh, and there was a lot of awkward black screen. And he started giving one of his drunken poems to a theater full of people.
Yeah, yes.
And people started yelling, stop it. What's wrong with you?
I know. Who,
it was horrible.
It was. And I couldn't even get him to sign up for Tiddlywink.
Yeah.
all right. We're going to take a quick break. Station announcements. And we are going to order an off-the-menu pizza from Roberta with honey on it.
Yeah.
And then we come
back
with
Brian Wetzel.
We're going
to put our own honey on it.
We're going to put our own honey on the honey. Honeys. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Heritage. I did see the esteemed sort of Heritage Foods and Heritage USA and Heritage Radio sort of founder, Patrick, with his lovely wife, out at the garden of Roberta's last week, and we chatted. Currently, we are in studio with Brian Wetzel, multi-hyphenate. We've talked about
Slashy.
His editing. We've talked about his beekeeping. And currently, I ordered a Roberta's off the menu pizza. I believe it's the Jesus H. Christ.
I think it's the Jesus.
Jesus, thank you. Jesus H. Christ, which is supposed to come with honey. It was a little light on the honey, so we've added your honey to it.
Yeah, which we just so happen to have.
Yes, and this leads us into how you and I know each other.
Yes.
Which is through a group that doesn't even have a website.
No.
It's like an underground fight club of pizza eating. It's called Team Pizza.
Team Pizza. We meet once a month, and we pick a different pizza place.
Yep.
In town. All the five boroughs. We've hit four of the five boroughs.
We've hit four. Staten Island is still on the list. We want to do that summertime. Take the ferry. Are we thinking Goodfellas? I don't know. We need to do a little research.
All right. I'm also interested in doing the New Haven thing.
Oh, absolutely. Sally's and Pepe's.
Pepe's.
I think even Bar American might be better than those two. But yeah, we would have to
I read an article recently.
All right. Which is where a lot of our team pizza research comes from.
Yes.
I would say that the founding members of Team Pizza, Nicole and Tracy, were in studio, but hesitant to talk other than talking to us. They will do a lot of online research. And we're not looking for the best New York pizza. We're just looking for a place we can go, enjoy each other's company, eat some pizza, and not even Yelp it or review it. Just critique it among ourselves, and then we go to a dive bar after.
Yeah.
Should we go through a couple memorable...
Do you remember Roberta's and Pine Boxes around the corner?
That's true. We've done Roberta's either two or three times.
Yeah, this is our third time at Roberta's.
Which is an all-time team pizza record.
It is.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I think it's actually the only one we've ever done a repeat at.
That's true.
Let alone three.
All right, let me give you one that you've never done. Vesuvio's in South Brooklyn.
Okay.
We have not.
And then the Three Jelly Pigeons in the same neighborhood. Bay Ridge.
Wow.
It's where I'm from.
Three
Jelly Pigeons. It's the only cool bar in all of Sunset Park and Bay Ridge.
Awesome.
I love the name. It reminds me, we did do Team Pizza up to Arthur Avenue, and the pizza was subpar, but the dive bar was great. It was called Cans or Mugs.
Mugs, I think.
I couldn't remember. Mugs?
Really?
It has Z spelling, though.
Yeah, as it should.
And we walked in, and the bartender introduced himself with his acting name or something like, you know, I'm
Joey Falcon.
I'm Johnny Falcon Suits.
Yeah.
And he's like, my real name's Barney. We're like, don't tell us your real name.
That was one of the best dive bars we went to, but unfortunately, we drove that night, so we really couldn't enjoy it.
Best dive bar.
Tracy is chiming in.
Yes.
The Greek Bakery.
You're
Astoria.
Right.
Astoria after Milkwood.
That was a number. That was a 1-2
Milk Flower.
And a lot of us in our own internal stomach ranking have ranked Milk Flower in Astoria as maybe one of the best team pizza outings ever.
It was a surprise hit, sleeper hit.
Yeah, sleeper
and
hit.
One of the best parts was Crazy Legs' dad.
Father Crazy Legs was in town with his wife, Carolyn.
Yeah. Lovely.
And that was great. And the pizza was amazing. It was very, not pretentious, but they had interesting toppings. Was there a lemon? Tell me out, Tracy.
There was a lemon and clam.
Lemon and clam, which was phenomenal.
Yep.
And a Van Dam.
Van Dam.
Wait, okay.
Which was Brussels sprouts.
With a runny egg.
Yes. That was Milk Flower was up there. We have not done Coney Island. We're in talks with either...
Yeah, we got
Tontano's. There is a Patrick Grimaldi's out there, but it's, you know, I think we've done Dumbo. We did Juliana's, the new Patsy place, new Grimaldi place.
Yeah, that was good. I'm excited for the Coney Island. You know, we'll throw in the roller coaster, maybe go to, what's the place on the boardwalk? Ruby's?
Ruby's on the boardwalk, we can do that.
Ruby's isn't pizza unless...
No, for the after party.
Because
you can't consider that pizza.
No, we would do Tontano's and then the dive bar would be Ruby's.
We always start with the pizza.
Well, I have an appetizer of a Nathan's hot dog, which I'm contractually obligated to mention if I'm going to Coney Island.
Oh, did you really?
Actually, the six-year-old I babysit for now only likes Nathan's hot dogs. And he's been to Team Pizza before. As a five-year-old, he lit Motorino's napkins on fire and was waving a knife around.
He was stabbing the table with a steak knife. It was awesome. And Nicole and I were walking to our favorite breakfast place in Williamsburg, the other morning, where we often see Crazy Legs and Eli eating pancakes.
Eli only eats pancakes. I have a double press of coffee. Would you like to take a guess how many days this week Eli consumed pancakes?
What day?
Five.
What day is it?
Tuesday through Saturday. every morning.
Really?
Yeah. And there's a shout out to Ed because Maggie, who works there, gives Eli like little finger puppets and they measure his height. And
he's an egg all star.
Yes. And he got farm. I kind of like this, actually. He got farm animal stickers.
Yes.
And I put one on the wall, which was a pig. And I made a little thought bubble, and I wrote, the kale here is delicious, but the bacon is terrible.
Oh,
and he just left it.
That's
and then
awesome.
He would come up with a thought bubble with for the like the goat, which was like, I'm chasing the pig, and I can't catch him, or something that was appropriate for
yes.
a six-year-old. So we graffitied all of Williamsburg with that. And I got home, and I thought, you know what? Now that he's six, he's ready. And we filmed a cooking show because he wanted to help me make pasta.
We have on our Facebook page.
Ah. We do. On so we Fork You Radio at both Twitter and shows our show, which is titled Cooking Under 4 Feet with Chef Eli.
Yeah.
Two
I
parts.
Like it.
And I was at media for July 4th at a very famous production company, Embassy Row, and I was babysitting, so I was double-dipping there, doing the media while he sat in the control room. And I was trying to get him to go around to offices and knock on the door and pitch his show, but he wouldn't do it. And everyone fawned over him and was giving him yeah. snacks and stuff. But I think Cooking Under 4 Feet might have a future.
Well, I love this relationship of
yes.
crazy. There's many a day I see you guys walking down the street.
It's true.
The shorts.
Him punching me in the stomach.
Shorts not, and the yeah. dreadlocks with yeah. the little six-year-old blonde-haired kid.
Yes. Yeah.
And you I actually think there's
pitched,
a movie
you,
there.
You pitched a great show, which was called Eat Your Veggies, because I was explaining that he doesn't eat anything but pancakes, chicken fingers, and now pizza with the cheese off. He won't do cheese. And sweets, of course. You love sweets. Max Brenner is his second favorite restaurant behind Egg. And I liked the idea because he had these baskets of fruits and veggies, so he would be able to tell the difference between fruits and veggies when he would turn them down eating it. And I thought, you know, Brian pitched me this idea, but we couldn't get Eli. He was too camera shy.
Eli is a tough cookie.
He is a tough cookie. And he was in Tiddlywink,
yes.
which he can never see because the drunk poet calls him a douchebag in a sight gag. We called a five-year-old a douche. Maybe that's why the film didn't succeed. But
still let you babysit this
I know. His mom hasn't seen the film. I keep telling her it's Brian's fault that he keeps editing it, that it's not done yet. But,
Is it true that you were babysitting him the day and brought him along and just put him in the scene?
It's a very John Waters moment.
That was a day we had to do a reshoot, oddly enough. So I was babysitting him on the reshoot. And little Jimmy was trying to like kind of help me out because Eli was in a foul mood.
Yeah.
But little Jimmy's references to children were all from like the 20s.
Yeah.
So he was like, let me get you a Tootsie Pop, you young whippersnapper.
And let me put you in work.
Exactly. But we had a great moment. I was babysitting him. I took him to a Brooklyn the Delabata cannoli contest. And later, he and little Jimmy went shopping at a Russian superstore grocery store.
Wow.
And little Jimmy is a little person, is having trouble holding all his stuff. And there was a little kid's cart. Mm. So Eli was pushing the cart, and little Jimmy was pointing to what he wanted, obviously, on the lower shelves.
Yeah.
Don't take those tomatoes, Eli. Those are not, I'll tell you how to get a good tomato. And Eli's like, all right, you know, and he's just helping him out.
Yes.
Like a giant, I'm over in the kielbasa section going.
And they're both the same height.
Yeah, exactly.
With the baby mini
cart. We needed you there to edit that together because that would have been a show.
Sounds like there's nothing to edit. That sounds
video
like that's just the one take.
Yes. Yeah.
That is perfect.
All right. Brian, where can people get a hold of you if they want to cajole you, desperate for honey, which you won't sell them, if they want to hire you to edit something, which you'll turn them down because you're a true professional who works at a very high rate, or if they want to get into Team Pizza, which is highly unlikely because we are exclusive, not inclusive, as Tracy is waving off.
She is.
She doesn't want any new friends.
Yeah.
So.
But when we're at the bars afterwards, she's
that's
the
true.
One making
that's
all the new friends.
Yeah, that's true. Tracy is good at that. So, where
especially around the corner at the smallest penis in Brooklyn.
That was Nicole Jemmy, and we did do one of the Roberta's Pizza.
Yes.
We went to Kings County, which has since moved.
Was your friend.
Oh! Both deflecting whose friend had the smaller penis, but they're on their third year of that. I wish I had gotten the poster the first year.
That poster was pretty amazing.
It was like a Superman in tights with a shiny little moose knuckle.
I thought it was a stamp.
And I don't know who won this year, but a UPS guy with like a 3.5 3.5-inch penis one. He was wearing a mesh.
3.5-inch? That seems...
Speedo. Flaccid, I assume.
A mesh Speedo.
I did.
That's big, right? For the smallest penis in Brooklyn? Really?
Well, I mean, 3.5?
Well, you see those micro ones.
I mean, because micro mayor penis? Yeah. Well, maybe, you know. His fucking penis.
Wow, you're getting political.
No,
he does wear open-toed shoes.
Yeah, no, because he doesn't fucking... Our mayor...
Coachella, circa 2007.
What happened?
Naked wizard gets tased. Everyone Google that right now. And it is incredible.
Oh, my
God. And one of the,
Team Pizza Nicole is just like, Coachella, naked wizard gets tased. Google it now.
A guy was having a rough time on drugs at Coachella. Right, yeah. He got tased.
Whoa. Yes.
And
his penis disappeared?
I believe
retracted?
Nicole's looking it up right
looking
now.
Looking up now. All
but
right.
One of the best comments I've ever seen on a video.
And put the Google up to the mic.
All right, I don't know if it's going to be
one of the best comments
radio.
I've ever seen on an online video was that thing, and then somebody commented, it looked like an acorn on a dead patch of grass. Amazing.
Oh, my goodness. And here I am thinking, if I could only option that story, convince Brian to produce and edit it, we could be, you know. Yeah, Tilly Wing, too. It could be,
it could be a Stephen King
Naked
novel.
Wizard gets tased at Coachella.
Oh, I found it.
She found it. Nicole found it.
We'll put it on your website.
All right. Yay. You got to talk to him.
I think we need to start writing the Adventures of Eli and Crazy Legs.
Well, we'll work on that. We've done a few trips to the zoo that I film and put on Coleman's Barn Grill's YouTube page. But, Brian, anywhere you want people to get a hold of you or just here?
Here.
Just look for you.
Yeah, look for me, brianwetzel.com. That's
all right.
With a Y.
With a Y, yes.
Wetzel. All right. Pretzel.
And, Rev, anything you want to finish on? Anything you're looking forward to this summer?
No.
Nothing.
Nothing.
I am Crazy Legs Conti. This has been a wonderful, wonderful episode of Eating Disorder on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. And we're going to go to the backyard and we're going to get some more pizza and put honey on it all. And I'm going to drink more rosé until it runs out. And I want to thank our special Team Pizza guests, Nicole and Tracy, who said they wouldn't comment at all. But small penis contests and wizards getting tased. It's all fair game. Who knows what... What soundbite Heritage Radio is going to use, which they're doing now. Apparently, we have to say something pithy so that we get Heritage Radio Network front and center.
Frontstreet.com.
.org.
I hate that pithy.
Pithy. We got to go pithy. The summer of pith.
I worked with a client. That was the only word she used.
Brian, the podcast is over.
No, it's not. Not yet.
No, we're still there.
It was sense memory. Anyway.
We're still there.
We're off to a Jon Snow vigil memorial, although I read the book and I don't think he's dead. And I will leave you on that. I don't think so.
He's not dead.
I don't think so. Anyway, HeritageRadioNetwork.org. And thank you, Liz the engineer. This could go on for hours. We'll see you next week for Eating Disorder.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.